Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And as always, for those of you who are in the LA area, the guest call-in number is 424-258-9337. And for everyone else, including those right here in the absolutely beautiful but a little bit overcast San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free call-in number is 877-697-9725. And we have producer Kina, who is opening up the chat room, and so she'll be hanging out there. You can log in, say hi, or just listen in on the show. And if you have a question during the show, you can always type it in, and she'll make sure that it gets to me. And I will be checking into the chat room after the show. So, today, letting go of moving on. And I have to say that the subject that people bring up with me more when I'm doing counseling with them is the idea of being able to move on from something that no longer serves them. And, you know, they say, well, I've let it go. I let it go and I'm moving on. And yet, time after time, it comes back up. Time after time, it creates that anxiety in them and brings up a lot of emotion. So today we're going to be talking about letting go of moving on. And really, often, you know, many of us find ourselves wishing to let go of something only to find that we're not quite done with it. So if there's something in your life that you're having a really difficult time letting go of, whether it's a relationship, whether it's the possibility of a relationship, whether it's a particular job, whether it's just anything, a physical addiction, there's something in your life that still has a hold on you. What is it that is the hook? What is it is that piece that we haven't dealt with? And what do we need to do in order to close that chapter in our lives and to really be able to move forward? So today we're going to be talking about the possibility of creating a process that can allow the release of what no longer serves you, and then let that experience become what it was meant to be, which is a lesson that can move you forward rather than hold you back. And we have a call from Detroit, and I'm going to ask you to just be patient. So we're going to kind of go through the things that I want to share, and then I will be right with you. So, you know, just please kind of hang in there with me. So as we look at what it is that holds us to these experiences, often it's because there's no closure. And one of the things that, you know, a lot of therapists and, you know, a lot of people who do counseling talk about is the ability to find closure. And what that means, at least to me, and it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but for me it means that the event no longer has the ability to provoke an emotion that I do not choose to feel. Okay, so I'm going to say that again, that to me, closure means that a particular event no longer has the ability to provoke an emotion that I do not choose to feel. So what does that mean? That means that if I'm driving down the street and I listen to the radio and something happens or a song comes on that reminds me of a person or an event, do I suddenly feel this, you know, overwhelming need to pull over and have a good cry? Or do I get angry? Or do I start blaming myself and, you know, initiate guilt? Almost anything can be a trigger for setting that emotion into motion. So as you look at the things that still are triggered, that sense of doubt, that sense of guilt, that sense of anger, that sense of resentment, look at the pieces that are involved in that. And recently I was doing some work with someone, and they were going back over this painful, painful experience that was from their childhood. And it was, you know, tremendous. It was very intense for them. And they, every time I had talked to them before, it always came up, comments, you know, little sarcastic quips about it. So finally, the two of us sat down together, and we broke it down to three parts of beginning the letting go process. And this could vary for a lot of people. This is just something I'm putting out there. Part number one is a question. And usually when something happens to us, one of the first things we want to know is why. If someone is in a relationship with us and they treat us badly, I think it's a very reasonable question to ask, why would you do that? Why do you feel that I deserved to be treated in that way? Now, if you can ask this question, and I mean not screaming, yelling, throwing things, but just sit down and say, you know what? I need to know why it was okay for you to take that action. Now, the tricky part of this is to honestly and openly listen to the answer. The answer may be, I had no idea that that would hurt you. Or the answer may be, you know what, you had done this to piss me off, so I figured you deserved it. So as, you know, you look at that question, and most of us have, when there's, especially in the place of a relationship, there's always that why question. Why would you do that? Why would you betray me? Why would you think that wouldn't bother me? And once you can get that question answered, that's the beginning of being able to move on. You can't move on if you're still caught in all of the questions and all of the things. And, I mean, for myself, there are times if I cannot speak to that person, I just sit by myself and go, wow, why would you do that to me? Because even if you're not able to get an answer, the fact that you're stating the question means that you know you didn't deserve it. Which leads into the second part. You know, you get past the question, maybe you're sitting there with the person, and, you know, I mean, and just really openly, honestly, make it safe for them to answer the question. It can't be an accusatory thing. And I know, especially like with relationships, that can be a really, really difficult piece to be able to kind of sit down objectively and be able to ask that and hear the answer without going into like a really hard place. So, you know, these are things that you can work towards, and maybe you need to take a couple of shots at it. If you feel like the emotion is coming up too much, it's like, you know what, I'm sorry, I need to take a break. But, you know, getting your questions answered, because when something like that happens, we usually want to know why. The second part is expression. Expression is, this action affected me in this way. I was tremendously hurt. I felt betrayed. I felt confused. I felt abandoned. Expressing what it is that you felt and being allowed to express that uninterrupted and without having somebody trying to explain how you're wrong. Which usually, you know, a lot of times when people, and this is for those of you who do counseling, or even if you're that person that everybody brings their stuff to, if you choose to go into that space, you know, God bless you. One of the tools is when somebody is talking about all of this, it doesn't matter what they say. In that moment, it's the emotion talking. Allow them to go through it and not, well, you know, that's not true. The person has to be able to go through it uninterrupted. And if you're in that space and you need somebody who can hold that space for you, and what I mean by that is somebody who can sit and listen and not get involved in it, not either agree with you that this person is a horrible human being or try to justify what happened or, you know, try to somehow make you better before you're ready to be better. So just being able to be there, letting that expression come out, because often, you know, the expression doesn't get to be made. And yes, sometimes it can contain some four-letter words, and maybe it's not totally appropriate, and it's totally from the perspective of the person doing it. And it does not matter. If you need to express that, allow yourself that opportunity. Have somebody be able to hear you say it. It's best if it's the person who has created the scenario or the person involved in the scenario. But if you can be able to actually sit and say, you know what, this is how that action, you know, what it created in me. I won't say made me feel, because some people go, it's like, well, nobody makes you feel anything. You feel what you choose to feel. Yes and no. There's always a catalyst, something that creates the impulse. And so, you know, for you to be able to fully express until you're empty what that meant and have somebody just sit there and listen. The third part is validation. Validation means, wow, that must have been a really hard thing. I am so sorry that you went through that. You did not deserve that. Validation means that there's somebody else, and like I said, the optimal situation is that the person who is the other part of the scenario says, you know what, that was not my intention to hurt you, and I'm really sorry I did. I didn't intend to do that. But just to be told that, you know, what you felt, you had a right to feel. And that can be really challenging, because sometimes, you know, very well-meaning folks try to convince us that, well, no, you shouldn't feel that way. And especially, you know, a lot of the spiritual folks, well, you need to go into a place of forgiveness. You need to go into that place of letting it go. In my mind, you know, forgiveness is one of the steps on the path. It cannot be the first step. The first step has to be acknowledging that you were hurt. And maybe, you know, and a lot of people define forgiveness in a lot of different ways. For me, you no longer have the ability to provoke that feeling in me. And I am willing to accept that everybody sometimes, you know, does something really mean. And that I no longer hold you accountable for my daily feeling about myself. And see, and that's an important piece. It's not about ever saying what the person did was okay. It's about acknowledging that it hurt. And it's about acknowledging that at some point, it will no longer, that event will no longer have the ability to affect how you feel. But that, in my mind, that cannot be the first step, because then it's about kind of repressing it. If you feel rage about something that happened, the body cries the tears that the eyes don't. Someone told me that a long time ago, and I have rarely heard things that were that true. The body will cry the tears that the eyes don't. And as a doctor, I have seen it over and over again, that when somebody is upset and it's like, no, no, I'm fine, I'm over it, I'm past it. No, you're not, because your body is telling me that you're not. The pain that you're experiencing physically is telling me, the way you're clenched up, the fact that your TMJ is flared up again in your jaw, the jaw pain, because of the fact that, you know, you're clenching all the time. So understand that, you know, it's, the idea is creating a process where you can begin to be able to, one, take ownership for what part of it belongs to you, and two, release ownership that anybody else might have for their ability to determine how you feel in any given moment. We have a limited amount of time, you know, to go around and breathe on this planet in this particular lifetime, and, you know, however you believe what happens after that, God bless you, and you know, whatever, however you manage that, you know, it's wonderful. And I think pretty much everybody can agree that this is a temporary assignment, at least this time around. And looking at that limited amount of time, as one person described it, a tiny dash between two dates on a headstone, do you really want to spend that much time in pain? Is it really about having to, you know, go and just relive something over and over and over again? Because the first thing about moving on, the first step in that is actually and honestly wanting it. It's about being able to say, okay, even if, now, what I described was the perfect scenario where you could sit down with a person. Often that is not the case. Sometimes it may be that someone has passed away and there was something left unsaid between you. Maybe it's a situation in a relationship where the other person, I mean, quite honestly, either wants nothing to do with you or is not able to, you know, cannot go into that place of actually talking about it. Maybe, you know, they still have a lot of anger. Maybe, you know, they just have a tendency to manipulate and tell you that everything you're thinking is incorrect. And, you know, and then you get caught into the mind game. So if you can have that conversation with the person, now, let's go on the theory that you can't. These are still things that you can actually do on your own. You can put out the question, why was it okay to do this to me? And, you know, if it's somebody that you know, you can figure what they would probably say. Or you can rewrite it and have them say what it is that you would like to hear. Wow, I was just inconsiderate. I didn't even think about it. Or I was done with the relationship and I didn't know any other way to tell you. So you can do that, and especially the expression. You can write it out. You can stand and say it. You can have somebody bear witness for it. But get that expression out. Say what you need to say. Don't worry about whether or not it makes sense, and don't worry about whether or not it's fair. Be unfair. This is about you releasing energy, and then get the validation. And even if it only comes from your sense of the higher self, from, you know, however you envision the universe, or if it's somebody who can look at you and say, wow, I am so sorry you went through that. In doing that for folks, I have had people just burst into tears just when I said, I am so sorry that you went through that, because they had never been told that. They had been told they shouldn't be bothered by it. They had been told that they should let it go, but they were never told, I'm sorry you went through that. And, you know, not trying to fix it, but just expressing, you know, that compassion. So, as you go through those things, and, you know, and all of these are about feeling safe, all of these are about returning to a place of balance, then it just reaches that place of, okay, am I truly ready to let go of this, or am I not ready yet? And if you're not ready, there's nothing wrong with it. Maybe you repeat this process several times. Maybe you do this and it's like, okay, all right, I'm going to go through it again. I will write it out again. And, you know, granted, if it's the person you're talking to, they may not, you know, be able to go repeatedly go through the question and expression and validation piece because, you know, maybe they want to move on. And it doesn't mean you can't do it on your own. It doesn't mean that somebody else can't help you with that. And make sure that when you go to somebody with this, that it's somebody who really can sit and just listen, who is not going to try to fix you, who's not going to try to make you either right or wrong, but who will just be there with you. It is part of life to move through all of these things. There was a saying once that there are three kinds of people: someone who is in a storm, someone who just got out of a storm, and someone who is just heading into a storm. And life can be that process. Now, if you think storms are cool, that's awesome. If you whenever you see the clouds get dark and there's lightning and the wind is blowing and there's rain, and you can look at that and go, wow, that is awesome. Yeah, then the storm is not so bad. But in most cases, the storm is pretty unpleasant. So as you look at, you know, these storm times in your life and what you can learn from them, figure out what it is that holds you to it. Figure out what you need to be able to let it go, and sometimes it is just the answer to a question. It is just the ability to express what you're feeling and the validation of knowing that there's nothing wrong with you for feeling that way. So, you know, keep that in mind. And, you know, God bless anybody who's in that situation. And as promised, I am going to let's connect up with our friend from Detroit. And hey, lady, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So, my dear, you had called in before, and you were going to update me on how things were going?
It's going the same. Nothing changed.
Nothing's changed. So,
no, I wish.
So what is it that you need in order to be able to let's talk about, you know, this process. What would be the question that you would like answered?
Everything. You deliver the
everything?
Messages.
Well, if you had to pick, like, what would be the first question that would come off that comes to your mind?
Job.
Job.
Yes. A new placement of job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you would want to, you know, it's like, hey, you know, universe, God, what's up? What do I need to do in order to move on in that place? Okay. So putting that question out, and I would really encourage you to actually write that question out, since you want to be able to get an answer kind of from the universe, God, and, you know, if it follows your spiritual beliefs, take it into prayer or take it into meditation.
I've been meditating. I've been trying to manifest. It's nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what.
Have you ever written with your left hand? Are you right-handed?
Yes, I'm right-handed.
Okay. What I'd like you to do is concentrate on your questions, and then sit down and write with your left hand. And whatever you write down, just don't judge it. Don't worry about penmanship. Don't worry about anything. But I want you to write with your left hand. That is a technique that has been used very often to get deeper answers, like from the subconscious, from the connection to the higher self. So that's one thing that I would like to suggest to you, is that you sit down and, you know, and relax yourself and focus on the question, and then put the pen or pencil in your left hand, your non-dominant hand, and then just write whatever comes to your mind, and write until you feel like stopping writing. Okay? That's one way of getting answers. Now, have you ever sat down and talked with somebody about what these life situations mean to you and how they affect you?
No.
No? Okay, why not?
I don't know. I'm a private person.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's a very cool thing, and, you know, and I totally honor that. And sometimes it is really important.
Some people, like when you tell people something, they might be jealous and try to figure out ways to block you out. And it,
yes, you know, or they seem bored, or they immediately start trying to fix you.
Mm-hmm.
So it really sounds like you could use someone in your life who will just really just sit there and listen. And, you know, it just seems like, do you have somebody that you could have that with?
Oh, my mom, my sister, and everybody else.
Okay. Well, that would be,
I've 10 job applications, and no one has called me for hospitals.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and really, it just seems like you could use having somebody who can just sit down with you and just let you go over that and what your concerns are and what your fears are and what your hopes are, and just have them let you say everything that you want to say uninterrupted, and, you know, and just hold that for you. And then after that is validation, which is, you know what, you have every right to be nervous about it. You have every right to, you know, to be concerned. And does that mean that, you know, the concern is something that should paralyze you? No. It just, sometimes it feels really good to have somebody go, man, that's bad. I'm so sorry you're going through that. And I think that, you know, these are things that will kind of help. They won't change what is on the outside. And what is going on the inside? What is it that you, you know, as a person need to either experience or hear or sometimes smell or taste or whatever to help you find that place where you feel safe? Because with these type of situations, it's very easy not to feel safe. And would that be, you know, a fair guess?
I'd be trying to listen to the answers and communicate with God, my angels, spirit guides, but I'd be trying to find my answers. It'd be so hard to try to figure out how do they send my messages to me so I could be able to understand them more.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it is. It's tough, and especially when you're trying to interpret it for yourself, because, you know, it goes through that filter of, you know, what
or anybody
not only
else I try.
What you hope, but what you fear. Go ahead.
And that's, I try with others, too, but I still can't seem to be able to communicate.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, I totally hear you. And I was talking with a woman this morning who had called me up and asked for some advice on something. And, you know, she was saying, it's like, well, this was the experience. What do you feel about it or what do you get from it? And, you know, I mean, she's a phenomenal practitioner. And she couldn't be able to see past where it had hit her heart to be able to look at it. And really, you know, getting signs, getting guidance, especially when you really, really need it, you know, that's a tough thing because then, you know, it's like, okay, is the way the sunlight hitting, you know, that window, is that a sign? Is the fact that, you know, I turned left instead of right, is that a sign? You know, am I supposed to go this way? I ran out of gas. Did that mean I wasn't supposed to go here? You know, it really does get very complicated. And I really, you know, think that it's really good that you do have, I mean, obviously you have a very strong spiritual connection, you know, which definitely helps. You know,
I try. Well, I mean, I don't know. You probably feel that I do, but I don't think so. I'd be trying to.
That you don't have a spiritual connection?
Yeah.
Okay, sweetie, let me tell you, you do. I have no doubt in my mind. And the fact that it concerns you whether or not you do or that you doubt that you do, usually that's a sign that you do. Because if you didn't, it wouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You have a very, you know, more solid than you think. And I really do get a very strong feeling that there is something that you are being guided towards. And it's something tremendously cool. And it's hard to tell your own movement when, you know, you're stuck on it. And, you know, when it seems like nothing is moving forward, when you really seem stuck. I mean, you know, when you think about it, you know, you could be sitting there thinking I'm perfectly still, and yet you're on a planet that is spinning in three different directions at hundreds of miles an hour. But from your perspective, you don't see it or feel it. So, you know, please hang in there because the messages are coming.
I've been trying to get out so many job applications from the hospital, and I believe I'm calling in this world is to help others. I love helping.
Yeah.
I love healing people, and I've been trying, so I continue to pray.
Yep. Hang in there, hon. Hang in there.
Okay.
You know, it's coming sooner than you think. Tell you what, keep me posted, sweetie, okay? And, you know, maybe we can do some work one-on-one, all right? All right, you hang in there, okay? All right.
I'll try.
Okay, so we're going to finish up. And, you know, hey, anybody who is out there, you know, please find somebody that you can talk to. Find somebody who can help you through that process. Figure out what it is you need to move on for that situation. So I'm going to be checking into the chat room. So if you'd like to log on in there and we can, you know, you can give me questions, comments, or concerns. And if you'd like to know more about me, you can check out my website at www.the-healing-house.com. And you can shoot me out an email. and, you know, connect up. If you would like to arrange for one-on-one coaching, I'll be there for you. All righty, everyone, you take care, and blessings and balance, and we'll see you next week.